Title of this message this morning is Checkups Always Lets You Know What's Up. One thing I have noticed at my age now is that Kathy, I don't have a family doctor. But Kathy began to tell me, and a lot of ministers and friends of mine in the ministry say, you know, Jesse, when's the last time you went to a doctor? When I was born. He slapped me and I ain't been back since. You know, in terms of being born. You need to start having checkups and things of that nature. And of course, and that's true. I've been running most of my life. I never really took time. And at times I have abused my body ferociously by just working till it almost fall down. But it's always took care of me. But we also need to take care of it. So I started doing some of these checkups. Now, I don't do it every year, and I know I should. And I know Dr. Deloach is listening to me, but I'm getting better at it, Dr. Deloach. I'm just getting better. Praise the Lord. But because, you know, there's certain parts of my body I've never seen, and I don't want nobody else to see them neither. Like a prostate. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But it's in a hidden place. And it don't feel too good when they want to touch it. And it's not that I'm embarrassed or anything of that nature, by no means, not that, you know. But I mean, I thought, Lord Jesus. And then Kathy said I should have a colonoscopy. Now, that's a trip. That makes you sing Moon River and you don't even know the song. And I love what that doctor told me, and he's one of the best here in the New Orleans area. You ever had any colon cancer in your family? I said, not that I know of. He said, well, you got a beautiful colon. What do you say to that? Now, to a doctor, I guess they understand that. But to me, I'm going, okay. I don't want to see you for 10 years. I said, I promise that will come to pass. Checkups. Now, I have a lot of heart disease in my family. All my brothers are disabled because of heart attacks and things of that nature. My father had a lot of it. So naturally, they look at the genetic order. But I told people that I was genetically I wasn't genetically hooked up with my family, that I was genetically hooked up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, so I went to a cardiologist here in the New Orleans area, and they put me on stress tests and all kinds of different things. And they said, man, you can do this thing. I said, is there anything wrong that you see? No. But I would not have known that if I hadn't have checked up. Now, they automatically assumed, you know, because of the major heart problems in my family, that I would have that. I didn't assume it at all. Now, if I died tomorrow of a heart attack, I beat the curse to start with. Because they all had heart attacks at 34, 37. I mean, major, terrible heart attacks. I mean, my family, I mean, just really rough. But I haven't, none of that has graced me or touched me. Because Kathy told me, when they would say, boy, Jess, you better slow down, you're going to get it. And Kathy would say, y'all shut up. Kathy can get vicious. Y'all shut up. Don't you say that. Because you have to watch your words. Because what you say will come to pass. And so we quit, you know, I would say, okay, and just did that. So we give God glory and honor for those things, you know what I'm saying? And I know I don't eat the way I should eat. I do eat pretty healthy, but not all the time. I'll give Popeye's a hand. I love Popeye's chicken. And the Lord blessed me. I went on a motorcycle trip, and it was a blessing of God. I went to Foley, Alabama. We had Kenny and a bunch of guys that were riding the motorcycle. They all came with me. I said, y'all come, we're going to drive down there. And I have never been to that place in Biloxi. What's the name of that place we stopped to eat? Beau Rivage. I never been there, you know. They said, that's a casino. Okay. So, and was it Kenny or somebody said, oh, maybe it was Roy. Somebody said, there's a great buffet there. I love buffets because you get what you want and you can go back and look like a hog, but everybody else is a hog. They're all at the trough. Well, I make a joke about Tommy Boyd. Denise Boyd is a very health conscious woman. And it's been miserable for her husband. No. And Tommy's kind of like I am. He liked fried food. We've been talking about fried pork chops for years. And we've been believing God, but Denise ain't listening. Well, the Lord bless me. I'm walking through this buffet line. And I said, what's that? They said, that's a fried pork chop. I said, do you know a girl named Denise Boyd? No, give me the chop. Now, I'm giving Denise all the time this morning. The last time I ate a fried pork chop was probably, maybe 30 years ago?
I haven't fried you any.
No, you don't fry nothing, Kathy. You don't cook. Anyway, praise God. And when they have fried food, they do it when I'm out of town. I preached for Brother Keith Moore. Y'all know Keith? You've seen him? I love Keith Moore. He opened up another church in Sarasota, Florida. And I was the first guest speaker, and we had a phenomenal time. And Kathy had a pool party. I said, what did y'all have to eat? She said, fried chicken. It ain't right. And I couldn't find a piece of it when I got back to the house. It was gone. So the kids could do a little swimming. I wanted Martin and his children. We flew them down. They're living here from England to kind of experience that and things of that nature. So, I mean, and I know, I guess you could eat it once in a while, but maybe not all the time. I don't know. And so we don't do it all the time, but we try. But I mean, if you don't have checkups, you'll never find what's up. So Psalms chapter 121, it says this, verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. This verse here is dealing before Jesus was transfigured. That when Jesus was coming down that mountain, it was amazing how he was glowing. He had been transfigured. He said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. Let me just say this to everybody in this building today. If you're going through something, you will get through it. Help is on the way. And the name of the Holy Spirit is the helper. Think about that. Help is on the way. Whether it be spiritual, physical, financial, whatever it might be. You're not alone at all, ever. Help is on the way. Now you think, let me tell you something about God. He is never early and he's never late. I wish he would be early. I wish he'd show up 5 days before. But then you wouldn't be walking by faith. You could just see it. You see what I'm saying? And the Bible said you walk by faith and not by sight. And but I like him a little early, but he's always on time. And the Lord gave me this, and I'd like you to write these things. 8 ways to find out why it isn't working. You watch this. You raise your children, and they just give you all kind of hell. You raise them to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you do everything you can. And they don't seem to be appreciative or whatever that might be. You believe in God for a harvest on your finance. And a lot of times, and last week, if you haven't had the harvest you want, you need to go get that CD or that DVD that we preached last week. It will help you. How many people enjoyed that? See, it gave you some insight, some concept, some idea. So I want to deal with this so you'll be blessed by it. Checkups always tells you what's up. Now, black people are known for what's up. You know, and most comedians, if they start out their monologue, whatever, they always say, what's up? Now, when you say that to a white person, they look up. They don't understand. What do you mean, what's up? But what happens is, when you go to checkups, if you've got a good doctor, if there's something starting to go wrong or something, the checkup will find it. And they always say it's called preventive, and help me, Dr. Loach, if I'm right, it's called preventive medicine. Am I correct in that? In other words, I remember Dr. Loach gave me some good wisdom. He said, look, there's 2 things that can really hurt a man as he grows older that you need to check on all the time. One is your heart, and the other is your prostate. He said, once you get past that, if you got that taken care of, he said, you will probably live a very fruitful old age. You know, and that's good wisdom. That was good. That's good sense, you know, to check up on the different things. And I don't know if, you know, I know young people have heart trouble and things of that nature because there's so much stress in the world. And I think the really reason why I haven't had some of the things that my brothers have had, because I've learned to cast my care upon the Lord, for he careth for me. Because you see, if I start taking care, if I take it back from him, that's a form of pride. I'm saying God can't handle my business. So I've got to try to work. You see, the problem with a lot of ministers that don't preach what I preach, because see, if you preach what I preach, you get ready for some persecution. Because they're going to come at you. Because you see, I tell you, you can do all things. I just quote what Jesus said. And then we endeavor to go do that, which angers a lot of ministers. So they start doing what they can instead of what God called them to do. Which means they never reach where they're supposed to reach. They begin to think, that stuff ain't working. So they start doing what they can do instead of what God called them to do. That's not easy to preach faith because it's a concept that's in the spirit. And I knew that one of the biggest hurdles that I would ever encounter was when the Lord began to deal with me about prosperity. I was preaching this before Creflo Dollar did this. And I'm bragging on that because I'm older than Creflo. And when I came out with that, they thought I read that in some motorcycle magazine or something. No, it was came from the scripture. They immediately interpreted that I might be greedy. I'm just wanting something. No, and have I ever asked any of you people to have I ever received an offering for my house, my car, my wife, my motorcycle? No. And there are a lot of ministers that do that kind of stuff. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that God is my source. Amen. I learned at a very early age. And I was tested fiercely. If I would break my character and break my integrity by saying that don't work. So what I would do every day of my life, and I say that not loosely, but every day of my life, I would check up to see if I was right. Because I wanted to do right. And do it because it's right. You follow what I'm saying? So I would look to the hills from whence cometh my help. So I want to deal with these eight ways. Number one, I want you to write this down. Put a spotlight on your life to see if you've overlooked something that needs to be made right. Let me say that again. Put a spotlight on your life to see if you've overlooked something that needs to be made right. And I want to give you the scripture. If you want to go to it, you can. Mark chapter 11. Now, that's the famous chapter that that Brother Hagin preached out for 60 years. Mark chapter 11. Phenomenal. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Let me say the point again. Put a spotlight on your life to see if you've overlooked something that needs to be made right. And what does that mean? Mark 11. Verse 25, it says, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught or, you know, a problem against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So what I do is I put a spotlight. You've heard me say this. You cannot offend me. I refuse to be offended. Why? Because I put a spotlight. I have nothing against no one anywhere. Why? Because why would I do that? All they got to do is ask God to forgive them. All I got to do is ask God to forgive me and it's over. You follow what I'm saying? I've had some people leave my ministry in the early years because I preached faith. And they said, faith is not the only thing in the Bible. I said, but faith is mixed up with everything in the Bible. You can't get saved unless it's by faith. You can't get healed unless it's by faith. Everything you do is by faith. You know what I'm saying? But they did, and then years later they came back. I had a minister thought that I wanted his church. Remember that? I mean, I never wanted anybody's church. I have learned that if I want God tell me to do something, I get my hands dirty and I dig it out the ground. But he just thought for sure that I wanted his church. And yet I preached in his church. Watch this. I preached in his church. People love me. People love me. It ain't my fault. Are you wealthy? Yes. It ain't my fault. I just got in line with the word of God and God could trust me. So why would they be envious or jealous? I'm not mad that Dr. Deloach is a doctor. And you know what, Dr. Deloach? I wanted to be a doctor. I told Mama, I think I'm going to be a doctor. Medicine fascinates me. How they can do some of the stuff they do. I don't know if I was smart enough. Mama said I would, but you know, Mama say that all the time, you know. Mama say everybody's smart. You might have the dumbest kid that ever walked the face of this earth, but Mama said that's a smart child, you know what I'm saying? And that's good. But I can't help it if the word works for me. But watch this. I refuse to be offended. I've had many people hurt me. And yet I will not strike back. I will speak the truth And I've had people get mad at me because I spoke the truth. And the scripture says, because I told you the truth, I made you my enemy. I would rather, you know, tell you the truth. Watch this. Well, he just, well, somebody did something they shouldn't have done. He asked me, he was going to a certain, I'm going to keep it private. He went to a certain country. Like Jesus said, he went to a certain country. And he asked me to take care of the church. He was gone for 2 weeks. So I was going to preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. So that's four services. Sunday morning, Sunday, Wednesday. Yeah, six services, right. Sunday morning, Sunday night. Yeah, for 2 weeks. Well, when he got back from the country, somebody picked him up and said, boy, you should have stayed longer. Now, they shouldn't have said that. That was wrong. That hurt that man. I tell you what, Jesse done packed out the church. They got energy in the church. Ha! Well, brother, something manifested called the green-eyed monster whose eyes turned red. You heard me preach that years ago. Jealousy. I wanted nothing. Zero. Zero. I did what the man asked me to do. And he told me before he got on the plane, the church is down. The church is, you know, it's kind of depressed. Jesse, you got joy. Pull them up. I said, okay. You know, pray for people, minister to people. I know I can trust you that you won't take my money, and I've never done that. I said, okay. And I did exactly, brother, what he asked me to do. Oh, Jesus. Now, he was a friend of mine. And I'll never forget when I got back. I didn't know the man said that to him. And I, you know, you can tell when somebody's a little frosty. You know, you got the revelation. Just a little frosty. I went over to his house. And I did. I was friends. We were friends. He said, I cannot be your friend no more. I said, what? Did I offend you? No, no. You're here for a reason. I said, yeah, to be your friend. It really hurt me because I really admired this man. Well, I never said nothing. I often wondered, what, 33 years later, Kathy? 32 years later, he showed up at this church. Looked at me in the face and said, I'm sorry. Took 32 years. I said, man, don't even worry about it. I forgive you. Jesse, you didn't want nothing. I was intimidated. I said, how can you be intimidated by me? I was only in the ministry a year and a half. I knew enough to be dangerous. But in all those 34 years of full-time ministry, I've put a spotlight on my life. That if I have anything in my life, Lord, we have this statement, anything hidden, be revealed. So checkups always tell you what's up. And that's why everything I've touched has prospered. Not bragging on that. But I have to watch that spotlight. And there's been times I saw some things that were starting to germinate. Pull that out. Pull that out. You know, people are rude to you. They shouldn't be rude. So let me say it again. Put a spotlight on your light to see if you've overlooked something that needs to be made right. Bible said in Mark 11, 25, when you stand, pray and forgive. And if you have a problem against any, then let your Father know, which is in heaven, that he'll forgive you of your trespasses. Number two, keep strife out of your life. Christ will not work for you if you're in rebellion. Now, I'm going to explain this. And this is number two. Keep strife out of your life. Christ will not work for you if you're in rebellion. But Satan will. What? You keep strife out of your life. One thing we hate here is strife. If somebody's having a problem in our ministry, we bring them together. Let's work this thing out because we know it's a cancer. It's like rust on a piece of metal. You know, you don't get rid of that rust, it's going to eat it all the way to the top. Keep strife out of your life. Christ cannot work with you if you're in rebellion. Now, Satan can. Let me show you how he does that. I've seen people that were in rebellion become very successful. He wants that. He's going to make sure he's going to back away. Because he's like Osama bin Laden. He's not interested in killing one person. He's going to kill a church if he can. He wants to kill everybody and get his hands on. To him, that is just major to him. That's why Osama wanted to struck those towers in New York. Because at any given time, there was 50,000 people in that trade center. 50,000. We lost, what, 56,000 in Vietnam? So one incident could have destroyed 50,000 people. And thank God that he wasn't able to attain it. Maybe 3,000, that's still a lot, don't misunderstand me. But my point, thank God that some people listened to what the Lord said and didn't go to work that day. See, he's not interested. See, he ain't interested in just hurting one person. He want to hurt everybody. He want to kill every church he can get his hands on. He wants to destroy anything. You see, that this is 8 ways find out why it ain't working. You start getting strife in your life, you become rusty. You're going to leave a stain that's very hard to get out. Let me say it again. Keep strife out of your life. Christ will not work for you in rebellion. And if you may look and say, boy, that's going real, real good. But when the day comes, it's going to be a great fall. You follow what I'm saying? It's going to be a great fall. And a lot of people say, no, you just say, no, listen to me. I refuse to walk in strife. You know, but I'm going to take the high road. I mean, I'll take wrong even if I didn't do wrong. You want to call me wrong? Call me wrong. I am not going to get in an argument. I'm not going to get into a fight with you. Why? Because strife is a cancer. And it'll put a stain on you and a stain on me. See, so checkups always tell you what's up. So if the Lord is speaking and you got some strife there, oh, get rid of it. If you have strife against your husband, your wife. And now he may do something stupid. Or she may do something stupid. Everybody does stupid things. Sometimes the spirit of stupid just come on people. And don't, you already thinking who it is. I don't have to tell you that. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, but you know what? So, you know what I'm saying? When all you got to say, I'm sorry, and go on. You don't have to understand why God does some things he does. There's something God does that I ain't particularly care for. They're just, you know. I mean, I could fix things real quick if he'd listen to me. But it's going to get brutal. But see, God is long-suffering. He's merciful. So number one, put a spotlight on your life to see if you've overlooked something that needs to be made right. Number two, keep strife out of your life. Christ will not work for you if you're in rebellion. Why? Because your eyes should be looking up to the hill from whence your help cometh. Number three, whatever you are believing for, make sure the word says you can have it. Write that down. Whatever you are believing for, make sure the word says you can have it. If the word says you can have it, you can have it and take the heat of the world. God said you could. God said he would bless you in the city, bless you in the field, bless you going in, bless you going out. The church, 99% of the church don't believe that. Yet it's so ingrained in scripture because they say, well, you can't be blessed. You have to be poor in the city, poor in the field, poor in the, no, poor. Poor ain't fun. You understand what I'm saying? The Bible said that a poor man is ruled all the time. God wants you blessed. So make sure, let me just read it so you write it down, you can get it here. Number three, whatever you're believing for, make sure the word says you can have it. When I saw what the word said, I said, I can have that. Well, I know the Bible says that, but whoa, you don't know the Bible says that. You're trying to give me a commentary and an opinion. Help, let me help you people. I am not a dumb man when it comes to business. I wanted to build this church here in Metairie because I know the chain don't go past Kenna. Everyone told me, don't build this in Destrehan. But God said, sir, build it in Destrehan. I had never been to Destrehan unless I crossed the ferry. You remember them days? That's before the Hale Boggs Bridge. Remember that ferry? Had to wait on it to get across there. Well, I thought, well, you know, it's just good common sense. But the Lord said, don't do that. But now I realize and know that. Because you see, it's not a place that you got to drive to. You got to go where God tells you to go. Now people say, God told me, most people now ain't hearing the voice of God. They're hearing the voice of God because they're irritated. I've had people try to pick my words to say. I've had people try to tell me what to preach. I don't even tell me what to preach. That's something God told me to preach. I didn't want to preach. I want to preach a Milky Way sermon. Preach the milk and away I go. Let me get out of here. We're going to stir up something here. But when the Lord said, stand up and preach prosperity. Oh, Jesus. Well, you're going to let them stay broke, busted, disgusted. You're going to let the devil kick them and beat them. Yeah. Quit thinking about yourself. And if they crucify you, let them crucify you. That ain't easy, ladies and gentlemen. It ain't easy that you help people and they turn away and walk away from you and speak evil of you. That isn't fun. I'm human. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? But that's okay. Gotta love them. Gotta love them in the Lord. Take the high road. Pray for them. God bless them. Minister to them. Sometimes when you first start praying, it's all you go, Lord, blah, blah. Jesus, blah. Y'all know you've been there, right? Yeah. Whatever you believe in for, make sure the word says you can have it. Number four, check up on what you're saying. Words will always make you or break you. Check up on what you're saying. Words will always make you or break you. Why did I put that scripture out there on this church? Psalms 89:34. To make me remember, my covenant will I not break. Watch this. Nor alter the thing that goes out of my lips. You understand what I'm saying? You don't, because what you say, the Bible said, if you said something you shouldn't have said, you swear to your own hurt. I went to some places I shouldn't have gone because I told him I would go. God didn't tell me to go there, but I said I would, so I went. Now, God bless some people, don't misunderstand me, but it was not the issue. I was not in the perfect will of the Lord. Let me just say it again. Check up on what you're saying. Words will always make you, or words will always make you or break you. I'll tell you something. If you say the right words to your wife, you're going to have a wonderful marriage. But one wrong word can change the atmosphere. Right? Just one little, by accident, on purpose, or whatever. She walked by, getting a little big back there, ain't you, mama? You see? You see? I mean, it's just words turn people on or off. I mean, did you hear that? Whoa. Let me help you, ladies. And that's one part of your body most men love. And you're always trying to make it smaller. Leave it alone. Come on, men, help me out here, will you, for God's sake? You know I'm telling the truth. Oh, let me just say, most men are butt men. I ain't going to let you. Look at Roy. Look how red he is. Roy's here. Get a shot of Roy here. Y'all just get a shot of Roy right here. Look at Mary. Shut up, Brother Jesse. Get a shot of Ron. I've heard him talk about butts. I know. Leave it alone. Look at the men. Y'all just got your head straight. Words will make you or break you. You understand what I'm saying? It's going to happen. So I notice this. I can have a great day with Kathy if I just use the right words. Or it can be one hellish day if I use the wrong words. See? So I check up. Should I say this to her? Should I say this? She came out the other day. She goes, she had a sleeveless dress on. That's another thing. Women worry about their arms. When's the last time you talked to a man about somebody's arm? Am I telling the truth? Ain't a man talking about no woman's arm? Men don't go, do you see the arms of her? You just focus on the wrong stuff. Arms. It's an arm. But they worry about that, you know. She come out the room there and she goes, look at this. My arms are so fat. How do I answer that? You don't. You use some great words. You lie. No, you don't lie. No, you just. I said, no, don't worry about that, Kelly. It looks fine. I said, don't worry about that. Words are either make you or break you. And when you give your word should be you. You know, I like old business way of doing things. You know what the old business way was? Man to man. This. It's done. You didn't break that. You look a man in the eye and shook his hand and you didn't perform what you were supposed to. Everybody in the neighborhood know about it and wouldn't do any business with you. Now you do business, you got 14 lawyers. Whatever happened to us? I'll tell you what happened to us. We got God out of schools. Sad to say, we got God out of church. And our words changed. As long as we used his words, things were right. So check up on what you said. Words will always make you or break you. The title of the sermon is Check Up Will Always Tell You What's Up. It'll tell you what's not working. Number five, check up where you are fighting the fight of faith. What arena are you in? Check up where you are fighting the fight of faith. What arena are you in? See, the Bible says fight the good fight of faith. You know how people interpret that? they fight faith. God never told you to fight faith. He told you to fight the good fight of faith. What arena are you in? You see what I'm saying? There were some ministers back in the 70s, or excuse me, in the 80s that fell. You know them, I know them. People wanted me to go on television and speak evil of those people, even though what they did was true. And it caused great stress in the body of Christ. It caused governmental change. And in my personal opinion, and I'm not being critical, just being truthful, they caused the government to intrude in on churches when they should not have done it. But the church ought to have enough sense to police itself. You understand what I'm saying? But they didn't. Because you see, they got drunk on power. Power is very intoxicating. Watch the word preeminence. You can tell people they're always trying to get the limelight. Bothers them if you get it. Let me say this again. Check up where you are fighting the fight of faith. What arena are you in? You see what I'm saying? You don't fight faith. You fight the good fight of faith. The Bible says you lay hold on eternal life. That's why sometimes things are not working. You're fighting in the wrong arena. When I was attacked by the media, look at me. You know it. I didn't go into the arena. Now, wait, well, not because I was hiding something. No, no. But I told him, I said, you want to interview me? Oh, yeah. You want to ask me the hard journalistic questions? Yeah. I said, I will be at your station and we'll do, you want to give me the whole hour, half hour, and I'll do this interview. You ask me anything you want live, which means you can't edit me. So in other words, when people see it, I'm saying it. In other words, you want to know the story or do you want to make a story? You know what they told us? We're not interested in that. Then they told you he didn't return our calls. Why? Because if I'm going to fight, I'm going to fight in my arena. You follow what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Because, and you see, there's some guys want such national attention, they get on there because somebody asked them to be on some national program. And they're not prepared for that. They're going to come with, tell people what they do in missions. They ain't worried about what you do in missions. The first thing they're going to ask you, there's two questions. You can take it to the bank. What's your stand on, actually three questions. What's your stand on homosexuality? What's your stand on money? And what's your stand on abortion? They ain't got enough sense to ask a fourth question. They want to know those things. You tell them what the Bible says, they don't agree with that. They get mad if the Bible works for you. So you check up where you're fighting the fight of faith and what arena that you're in, because that means something to God, to where you are. Cool, my shucka. Did I say that, Lord? You know, you may like me. You may dislike me. You know, God don't care. Because, see, the only place you can grow is here. And I'm not telling you to stay. Let me show you how easy it is. If everybody in this building walked out of here, it don't change Jesse's day one iota. Now, I'm not being prideful. It doesn't. It doesn't. Baby, debt free. I dug this out the ground. You understand? I mean, I had people just criticize it. You know why I did it? You know, I wanted debt free. Because if your children's children stay in this church and we all go to heaven by the way of the grave, they won't have to pay for it. That it was paid for. They won't have to struggle and worry about somebody seizing the building. And as long as I'm head of this ministry, no one will ever seize this place. That's why the IRS said he runs his ministry like Billy Graham. It's called honesty and integrity. There's some things that you can do legally that I will not do. It's called the politics of religion. I understand that. I'm not doing, I've had my, I mean, I got lawyers. You know, when you, I'm not sounding prideful. You got to have lawyers when a ministry gets like this, when you're on all this television, all kinds of stuff. And they say, you can do this. I said, I ain't doing that. Ask some of the presidents. Some of the lawyers said they could do it. They got in trouble over it because they didn't understand the politics of it. You follow what I'm saying? So you find out where you're fighting the fight of faith and what arena you're in. Number six, check up on who you are hanging out with. Check up on who you're hanging out with. Do not counsel with people who are in a reproach to God and his word. Let me say it again. Check up on who you are hanging out with. This is why these things ain't working. If you do these 8 things, things will start working for you. Number 6, check up on who you're hanging out with. Do not counsel with people who are a reproach to God and His Word. You think I am, people that brought a reproach on God and His Word, you think I'm going to go receive counsel from them? Not that I'm better than them. No, I ain't got anything to do with that. You think I'm going to get some, buy somebody's tapes on marriage who had a divorce? Let me just ask a question. How many of you have bought tapes from a minister on marriage that had a divorce? Come on. Come, stick it up, sweetheart. Put your hand up. Go ahead. She goes. That ought to tell you. It just ought to tell you. I had a guy preach something one time, Roy. What to do? And he was selling the tape. What to do if you missed the rapture? I didn't buy the tape. Ron, I don't want the tape. I could care less what happens to that. I'm not missing the rapture. What to do if you miss the rapture? And you know, people said, amen, glory to God, hallelujah. I said, are you people stupid? This spirit of stupid has come in this church. Check up on who you're hanging out with. Do not counsel with people who are a reproach to God and His Word. Be careful who you hang with. You tell that to your own children, yet you don't do it yourself. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Right? Check out who you're hanging with. You can see when people begin to get attitudes. They call them a tood. You got a tood over there. You know, like you got to be careful. And you know, you may like these people, but they may have a flaw that's causing you to mess up. You know, if your body's been attacked with diabetes, high blood pressure, crippling arthritis, cancer, or heart trouble, you don't want to hang around with people that says, well, you know, go to the doctor and just believe for the best. Well, you know, I mean, you know, how many people in your family got it? Well, you know, excuse me. It's like one guy said, well, this is just a generational curse, Brother Jesse. Well, how do I get rid of a generational curse? You make a generational choice. Just because your dad's a drunk, and I've said it before, don't mean you got to be a drunk. You just change that. So you watch who you hang out. There's a lot of people who want to hang out with me. I'm a very friendly person. But there's some people I cannot. Oh, Lord, you want me to say that? Yeah. You see that house of mine? That's a beautiful home. Ooh, I wanted to have an open house. I was going to have an open house. I was going to have finger foods. I was going to have hand foods. I mean a whole sandwich instead of a piece. I call it a finger food, which means don't eat too much. You understand what I'm saying? You ever notice those meatballs, they give you a toothpick because they don't want you to have a fork. Toothpick. One. Don't give them a fork. Right? You know, remember we used to have all the picnics? Yeah. Spring picnic? Yes. Come to church, y'all come. We'd have 2,000 people. Yeah. Where all the people come from? Yeah. Food, man. So, and the Lord said, don't do that. They won't be able to handle this. And He gave me a perfect analogy. When Kathy was having Jody. Now, you see, a man, now that's happening. You can go in and see your baby being born. When Jody was born, we weren't allowed to do that. The only thing a man could do was go to the administrative office and pay for the baby. You stand outside and you pay for the baby. Now, if you ever seen a woman have a baby, it ain't a pretty picture. A lot of blood. And this fool that was with me, his wife was in the other room. Well, no, she was in the same room. Then they switched y'all. They gave Kathy some drugs that I've been trying to get for 30 years after. That was some fine drug, doctor. Well, I don't know what she got, but buddy, you could solo on that stuff. I ain't kidding you. Whatever it was. Now, I was a sinner in those days. I said, I got to have some of this, man. Okay, Kathy going, oh, woo. I said, we want some of that. This guy wants to go in and deliver him. What allowed you to do that? This is at Arlington Memorial Hospital in Arlington, Texas, where Jody was born. I said, man, you can't go in there. Listen, man, I'm going in there. I said, and this doctor, the name of the doctor that delivered Jody was phenomenal, but he had a weird name. His name was Garth Hatch. And he had a problem with gambling. I won all my money. I paid him. We started playing blackjack. I told him, don't go to Vegas. You ain't going to get out of town. They're going to take you. You don't know how to play cards, man. You card laid, card played. Remember what's coming down. You know, your percentages. You understand? But he didn't get it. And but this guy, he was also delivering this other lady's baby. Well, this fool, the nurse comes. And this was a phenomenal nurse. She was a hunchback nurse. She had a hunchback. Now, I'm not being great, but she was a good nurse. She come like this. She said, I'm not exaggerating. She go, doctor, doctor. She's ready, doctor. And I thought, whoa. Oh, it freaked me out, you know. I am not exaggerating, but she was wonderful. That woman knew her business. The doctor said, he playing cards with me. Oh, no, she'll be all right. Doctor. She knew more than he did. She's ready. Well, my God. And she walk a little slow. You understand what I'm saying? And this guy gets up from the chair where we are sitting, runs in there, and there's his wife, and she's birthing that baby. Now, he's going to be a macho man. He's a man. I'm a man. I can handle that. He goes, and passed out. Hit the floor. Just hit the floor. Now, here the doctor and the hunchback led it. Trying to take care of this woman, baby. They got to drag the guy out. I just stayed where the cards were. They finally got him. I'm telling you, he passed out cold. I'm not going to hang around that guy. First, he was a reproach. He couldn't. He wasn't obedient. He wasn't listening to what the hospital rules are. You don't do that. Well, boy, his wife jumped him like crazy when she found out he passed out on the floor. I thought you was a man. I thought you was a man. He was a black brother. I thought you was a man. Fall down on the floor in front of your own child. You know, black woman get on your case bad, son. She can just flat lay it to you. I thought you was a man. You man. Man. Did the white guy fall on the floor? He go, no, he's playing cards. Check up on who you're hanging out with. Do not counsel with people who are a reproach to God and his word. Number 7. I can't remember that so long ago. Check up and see if you're living the word. Check up and see if you're living the word. It will always show you where your strength is. Check up and see if you are living the word. Oh, man. If you want Christianity to work for you, it will always show you where your strength is. Let me say this about hiring people here at my ministry. You got to be very secure as a CEO of a secular company, as a pastor of a church, or a CEO of a ministry. You cannot have what I call insecurities. Because if you want your company or you want your church or you want your business to thrive, you have to hire to your strengths, not to your weaknesses. No, excuse me, you have to hire to your weaknesses. Excuse me, I got it backwards here. Not to your strengths. See, there's a lot of ministers because they want this limelight so bad. They don't know how to do something, but they don't want nobody in the church to tell them what to do or that they know something they don't know. Now, when I hire people, I hire them my weaknesses. I want them telling me what to do, even though I may be the boss. Everybody's got a boss somewhere. Not to the strength. But see, a lot of guys and a lot of people in churches and business, they hire to their strengths. And then you get into all kinds of trouble. Because what happens is you're afraid somebody might know something you don't know, and that's insecurity. And before you know it, the company starts going down. So like my IT department, that means my, what does IT mean? Information technology. You can tell how much I know about that, huh? Information technology. I mean, I got computers that got special air conditioners to keep them babies from burning up. If you ever walk in, it's amazing. People hadn't seen the complex of this ministry. They have no, you have no idea what's going on here. When you're touching a world here, when you're reaching out to the world. Now watch this. So a lot of times, I don't need to know. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to know, but they need to know. Now, if I would try to hire somebody on the wisdom of what I know in computers, now can I learn?
We
live streaming now because of that. They're global right now, doing all that. Now I can learn it, Ron. I mean, I'm not dumb. I can learn anything. I can learn. I got a fairly decent IQ, but I don't want to. They still trying to get me to carry a cell phone. I got one. And I take it off. What are you carrying it for? Well, if I want to talk to you, I'll put it on. Oh, that make a mad boy. So you know how most people get to me? They get to me through your son, Dr. Deloach. David got that. He got that phone. They'll call Angelique. They'll call Ken. They'll try to get a hold of Joe Bowles or Lewis. Because most of the time I'm in aviation. Or Kathy. Now, I got a phone. I don't know. I've never done one email in my life. I've never text one time. Kathy's trying to teach me to text. I don't want to text. You know, I tell her, I said, will you call somebody? I'll text him. Oh, watch this. It just drives me nuts. I want to call somebody. Okay, hang on a second. They punch in four. They already know the number, but they're going to punch 14 different things. Running up now. Till they get to the, okay, that's the first. Press the button and call. I said, I know the phone number. Just phone, man. Took you 20 minutes to find the dadgum thing. And I could have been talking for 19 minutes. But she don't get that. None of my staff gets that. No. And I'm the dumb one? Check up to see if you're living the word. It would always show you where your strength is. So I would tell everyone that has a business or want a business, if you ever hire somebody, work someone, hire to your weakness so they can help you. And don't be intimidated because they know something you don't know. You follow what I'm saying? Yeah. Number 8. Check up to see if you're always praising God or speaking evil of him. Check up to see if you're always praising God, even if he does something you don't understand. Or you speaking evil of him. If you ever hear me talk about the Lord, have you ever heard me say anything bad about God?
Nope.
I say, oh, Lord, you're gracious. Brother, but he's done some things I didn't understand. But that's okay. I'm going to give him praise and glory and honor all the days of my life. I will not speak evil of him. You can't have what you preach against. I can prove it to you. They got people out there today criticizing me over prosperity. And yet they're struggling financially. They need what I have. Now, I'm not a good counselor because I'm too blunt. I'm having a problem with your marriage. What you did? Let's just cut to the chase here. What you did? I have fallen out of love. We'll fall back in. Next question. Oh, that's too complicated. That's not complicated. Amen. You fell in once. You can fall in again.
Amen.
But you don't understand. Don't want to understand. You came to me. I didn't come to you. Now, I got this counseling 3-point plan. I got a problem. Admit it, quit it, and forget it. Now, get out of here and go in the house. Now, I know that don't work. It does work. But most people don't want that. They want this. Well, oh, Jesus. Oh, my Lord. She's hell, and she's hell. I understand. I know. I'm so sorry for you. If I were married to her, I'd leave her myself. I know. No. You can't do that. You can't do that. But really, most complicated problems can be solved easily. Some people come and want to talk to me about something. I said, what does this word say about that? Watch this. Two things I ask him. What does the word say that? Where's your Bible? What does the word say about your problem? Where's your Bible? In the glove compartment of the car. Is there anybody? Did you underline anything? No. Do you ever read it? I don't understand it. Don't lie. Don't insult my intelligence now. You see, you're wanting God to do something. You don't even never go to his word. You never do any of this. This is why things are not working. That's why they're not working. You see, checkups always tell you what's up. So I realized the checkup to see if you're always praising God or speaking evil of him. I'll tell you what, I gave money. God didn't give me nothing. I'm speaking evil of him. Your problem is your own welfare. You just think because you say if he got to do it, he ain't got to do nothing. I'll say this and make you understand this, and I'll close with this in this essence. It's like your kid thinks you owe him something. I want a car. Let me tell you what my dad said. You can have anyone you want. Really? Yeah, get a job. Job. J-O-B, baby, job. Oh, my God, if I get a job at McDonald's, it's going to take me 14 years to get it. I'd save money. Yeah. They don't want to hear that. I want you to go get the car. And there's nothing wrong with going to get the car. That's not the issue. You know, you want to be a blessing to your family as much as you possibly can. But they just think, you know. Let me tell all you young people. Did you eat breakfast this morning? It wouldn't have been for your daddy, your mama buying the eggs. You'd be hungry right now, sucker. You know, you might want to pat your dad on the back every once in a while. Thank dad for going to work. Thanks, dad. Come on, men, help me out here, will you? Thanks, dad, for bringing home. Thanks, mom, for cooking. Thank you, mom, for washing my clothes. Let me tell you, man, they're saying right now that children don't want to leave their house. If I wasn't married and my mama still living, I live with my mama. Oh, yeah, you ain't a man. I get my clothes washed. Boy, mama washing my clothes, and I can start undressing, and I'm dropping clothes, and mama just coming behind me, picking stuff up like that. And Kathy gets so mad when I do that. I say, well, mama did it. I ain't your mama. I love living with my mom and my daddy. I'd have stayed there to 62 years. I'd stay right there. Because you know what? There was always food. You had enough to eat. It was great. Let me tell young people, don't leave. It ain't fun out here, man. It ain't fun out here. I want to be on my own. No, you don't. You don't want to be on your own. Because when you get on your own, you got to own something. I'll say this in close. I had my first accident. I'll never forget. I told my daddy, I'm a man. I want to let you know, daddy, I'm a man. He said, okay, my man, you're the man. Man, I had my one hair hanging out on my chest. I was looking pretty good. You couldn't see it, so I put a little mascara on it so you could see it. You know? I ain't lying, I did. And I'm driving down the road, listening to the music. And I'm just beating my hand on it. And all of a sudden I look up and as I caught, boom, I hit the back of the car. Oh, Lord Jesus. Woman come out mad as a hornet. She ain't mama. Cussing me, man. You bust up my car. Calling the police. I am 17 years old. My car is radiator busted. All the water coming out of it. I thought, what am I going to do? So this policeman says, okay, young man. Call me young man. Now, man, you're going to have to get a record to get this car off the road. How much is that going to cost? Then that was $50. $50, a lot of money when I was 17. $50? Yeah. Let's get it ready. Now, the day before, I'm telling my dad, I'm a man. He said, okay, son, you're a man. And guess what? Here comes my dad in his car. I see him. They stop the traffic. I see my dad and my brother. I go, oh, Jesus, thank you. I got real religious. Oh, Jesus, thank you, God, Daddy. So I'm on the road, and this woman's still chewing at me. You know what my husband's going to say about this? I wanted to just knock her brains out. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't, you know? Yeah. Man, I saw my dad. I went, Dad! I went, Daddy! It's a true story. Daddy! Hollering that loud. Dad says, and I read my brother's lips. That's Jesse. That's Jesse's car. Daddy goes, oh, yeah, man. So he rolls the window down. Are you hurt? Are you hurt? There's the cop going, come on. Are you hurt? I said, no. He said, well, you a man. And he rolled. Drove off. I wanted to be a boy. A baby. I had to hitchhike home. I had to pay the record. I said, Dad, my car's over there. What are you going to do? He said, I don't know. You a man. What are you going to do? I said, it ain't fun being a man, Daddy. You ain't going to help me. I didn't wreck the car, Jesse. And I didn't give a speech to me that you a man. So welcome to my world. But thank God for Mama. I'm a mama boy. I love mama. You gonna let that boy, he worked so hard for that car, you ain't gonna help him. Hell no, I ain't gonna help him. That's what my dad said. I ain't lying. He's hot, man. Cause you know, I smarted off to him. I'm gonna tell you one thing. You go over there and get to help that boy. You get that car. I says, do it, mama. Come on, mama. Please, mama. You gonna let my boy stay out there? You let him hitchhike home, somebody could have knocked him in the head. Well, I'll make another one look just like him. No, you won't need it. You ain't gonna never see that again as long as you ever live. I'm not just being blunt here. This was one of the arguments between mom and daddy over me. I'm sitting there going, mama winning, son. Because when my mama said that, daddy got mellow. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. And she grabbed me by the shoulder. What's the matter with you? Watch where you're going. You understand? Take a radio off. Are you crazy when you drive it? I said, okay. I said, Mama, I ain't got no money. I don't have nothing. She said, come here. Mama always had a stash. And it's all folded up. In little. You never touched a purse. Don't touch Mama's purse. Because that's instant death. And they all had them big black purses. Don't touch Mama's purse. She gave me some money. Thank you, Jesus. Daddy went and get my car. We drug over there, brought it. He said, well, you got to get a new radiator. I said, how much is that going to cost, Daddy? $100. $100? You want to own a car, don't you? I told you about that car. Once you own a car, son, it's called responsibility. Now, I want to tell you something. If me, you'd be on your own, baby. Not that I don't love you, but you want to be a man? Be a man. He said, it ain't fun being a man, Jesse. It ain't fun. I never forgot that. So I know Mama did it. Got my car fixed and everything like that. And I never forget when I drove off with Kathy in my car. And I was married. Mama said, don't leave us. You know, Mama cried. Oh, Jesus, yeah, they're going to Dallas. My daddy said, bye, boy. Have a good time, sir. Enjoy yourself. Come when you can. That's Mama. That's my boy. That's my dad going. See, I needed some checkup going on when I was a kid. And I learned that. Did you enjoy it this morning?
Amen.
Bye, boy. Bye, boy. I'll tell you this. This may be off the tape or something like that. When I came back, I said, Daddy, we're going to come and live in New Orleans. Can I stay at your house? He said, yeah, one day. He said, I love Kathy. I didn't marry a woman. Boy, you a man. You find a house for that woman. You take care of her. I said, Mama, you can stay here as long as you want. You want me to talk to your dad? And like Richie said, you'll never be the man your mama was. I love that. That's okay. Richie's grandfather used that all the time. It's just a perfect statement. Checkups will always tell you what's up.